creation around me, it seems your love is a beautiful thing. I look all around and I see masterpiece that you made to be. Creation, it glorifies the King of Kings, for your love is a beautiful thing.
Thank you, Vicki. Good morning, everybody. Brad, would you mind closing that? Or we'll make Les do it. Would you close it, please? That reminds me of Terry's joke. Never mind. You already know it. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who came out this morning to receive your precious word, the most precious commodity on the earth. And Father, today, may it go down deep into the recesses of our innermost soul, where it can change the thoughts and intentions of our heart, where it can strengthen the very wellspring of our spiritual life. The spirit of man joined to the Holy Spirit that makes us one spirit with you, Lord. So communicate spirit to spirit today as we consider this so great salvation of ours and how that we, all of us who have believed in Christ, have been signed, sealed, and delivered your very special, your very own special possession in Christ Jesus. In the heavenlies, in Christ, and tois aronios, and Christos, in the heavenlies in Christ. Thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Signed, sealed, delivered. Want me to sing it for you? Okay, I won't. Sunday, July 21st, 2019. It was by the revelation of Paul that he received in the third heaven. Heavenly vision and revelation, he called it a heavenly vision, that we have the knowledge of our superior blessedness, heavenly people of God, even though now, for a little while, we're tethered to the earth. We need quickened by the word. My soul cleaves to the dust from whence it came. Quicken me, Lord, according to your word. So, for us, the facts brought forward by Paul regarding our election to superior privilege, determines our experience and progress in order that we might live while we're here as citizens of heaven, colonial citizens of heaven on the earth. That's what the church is. It's a colony of God on earth. As we wait to be transformed and transported to our glorious home to be with our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who longs for us to be with Him where He is. In Philippians 3, 20 and 21, John 14, 1 to 4, or John 16, 1 to 4, and John 17, 14 to 17. He says, I do not ask you, Father, that's in His great high priestly prayer, that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We're pilgrims, aliens, travelers on the earth, waiting for our heavenly city, even like Abraham did. He didn't have a continuing city. He was looking for that city whose builder and maker was God. In Ephesians 1:3, before we take up where we left off in Ephesians 1:5, Ephesians 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has eulogetos, conferred blessing by speaking upon us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in the heavenlies, literally, in Christ, in the heavenlies, in Christ, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, that's 1:20, and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. And of course, you know, we're seated together with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and awaiting His soon return. He's coming quickly, suddenly. And His reward is with Him. In Ephesians 2:6, we're seated together with Him in heavenly places. We're His heavenly people. In Ephesians 3:10, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, angels are watching us, studying us, to see how this grace, goodness, works. It's not a license to sin, that's for sure. But what it is it's the freedom to serve by love and to have a true relationship with the invisible Christ, because He's not here now. And we don't see Him, but we rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory by His Word, by His Spirit. In Hebrews 3:1, which I said, the word heavenlies, aronios, is used only by Paul in the Scriptures. That is, in this way, regarding the church. And 5 times in Ephesians and 6 times in Hebrews, which lends itself to the body of evidence that would certify that perhaps, and I believe it's so, it doesn't matter what I think, that Paul was the author, the ghostwriter, as it was, and the unsigned author of Hebrews. Everybody debates who wrote Hebrews. Some say Titus, some say Apollos, and others say Paul. I say Paul, but I won't argue with you about it. You can believe whatever you want, think whatever you want. You're supposed to do your own thinking, and if you do, and depend on the Lord, we'll all come to the same conclusion somehow, somewhere down the road. So, in Hebrews 3:1, it says, Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. Your calling is a heavenly calling, not an earthly calling. Israel's was an earthly calling. Calling to a land that God gave Abraham in the Middle East. But ultimately, it was a heavenly calling also. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our profession. In Hebrews 6:4, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, this talks about backslidden believers, or those who drifted away from grace, For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. What's the heavenly gift? The Spirit sent from heaven to indwell us, to regenerate us, to seal us, to gift us, to fill us, and to teach us, to baptize us also. That is, into the medium, as Christ baptizes us into the medium of the Holy Spirit, even as John baptized us, baptized those who believed into the medium of water. The one that came after him baptizes in the medium of the Holy Spirit, making all that he has accomplished and applying all of it to us, changing us in a moment into a new spiritual species of humanity by the new birth and the new life that's ours in Jesus Christ, the new creation. In Hebrews chapter 6, we have the heavenly gift. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, it's all about, the Old Testament's all about shadow and type of heavenly things, just like Moses was warned by God when he was to erect the tabernacle that he would do so by making all things according to the pattern which he was shown in the mountain. In Hebrews 9:23, they are heavenly things versus earthly things, heavenly sacrifices, the real thing versus the earthly thing, or the copy. In Hebrews 11:16, it says, but as it is, they and us desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. In Hebrews 12:22, you have not come to Mount Sinai with smoke and fire and gloom, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. That's where we're headed. So turn to Ephesians 1:6. That's where we'll pick up where we left off. All of this to the praise of the glory of his grace. Phrases like that we tend to just pass over, but they are so vital, so important. So meaningful. Power-packed, as it were. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed or lavished upon us in the Beloved. It literally says, unto the praise of the glory of grace, his grace, which he freely bestowed. The word is keraton, which means, it's the verbal form, it's aorist active, third person. He graced or bestowed freely upon us. And then it says, en, or in, by, because of. Then it says, to, which is a definite article, specific, which means the one. And then it says, agapete, which means being loved, the one being loved. That, of course, refers to Christ, the Son of God's love, in the Beloved. Blessed and beloved, every one of us, by and because of Christ, in by and because of Christ, in Christ, 31 times. In the book of Ephesians. It's interesting that Paul wrote 13 apostles, and if you transpose the numbers, it's 31. 31 times. The mystery is mentioned 31 times in the book of Ephesians. We are in Christ, that phrase with its equivalent, and 5 times, which is a number of grace. I like numerology, biblical numerology. We're seated with him in the heavenlies. We're God's heavenly people. Blessed and beloved. Verse 7. In him we have redemption, apolutrosis, through his blood. I'll tell you what that means. The forgiveness, aphiemi, of our trespasses, according to the plutos, the riches of his grace. It starts out with N is in, the dative preposition, in whom. Then we have exomen, which is we have. The apolutrosis, which is redemption. Redemption means set free from the slavery of sin by a ransom paid. not only forgiven for our sins, but set free from the control and consequences of sin and from the wages of sin, because Christ paid the wages of sin and paid the penalty of sin and the wages of sin on the cross, as well as pulled the stinger out of death. For the sting of death is sin, and the power, strength of sin is in the law. So he became, of course, the one who dismantled, after fulfilling it, the law altogether by a new covenant in his blood. He says that next. Through his blood, he shed his blood. It's like the last will and testament of Jesus Christ that he implemented before his death and upon his death. All that comes to us, all that accrues to us, because Christ died as a substitute for us. He died as us, for us, and instead of us. That is, through his blood, the aphiemi, aphasis, sending away, literally sending away, or forgiveness. It comes from apo and aimi. It means to go away or to be sent away. That is, of our paratoma. Paratoma from parapipto, which means to step aside or to step away or to fall away. They all fell away. All your sins fell away, and they fell on Christ. All of our sins were taken away, removed from us, and placed on Christ, who paid for every last one of them. I love to say that. Making us sin-free. Even sinless. In the new man. In the newness of a new birth. A new creation. The new and sinless spiritual man. You can read it for yourself in 1 John 3:9, Ephesians 2:24. See what that new man is. See who that new man is. Altogether, sinless and devoted to the plan, purpose, and will of God. That new man is. You can tell if you're functioning in the new man or not. Then he says, next he says, according to, kata, the riches, wealth, or abundance of the caritas, the grace, which is his. In him, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Therefore, we are redeemed, forgiven, and each one of us richer than Donald Trump. According to the riches of his grace, which is distinctly Pauline phrase. He uses it in various ways. He uses it in Ephesians 1:7, according to the riches of his grace, our passage, which is kata to plutos tes caritas autu, the riches of his grace, the riches of his kindness in Romans 2:4, the riches of glory in Colossians 1:27, the mystery is great. Mystery of his glory. Riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 3:16, Philippians 4:19, riches of the fullness of understanding in Colossians 2:7, the riches of Christ in Ephesians 3:8, and in Ephesians 2:7, the surpassing riches of grace, which once he lavished upon us, en Christos, en caritas, that means in Christ, by grace, by pure grace, redeemed, forgiven, and of course, richer than we know, like Jed Clampett. The devil wants to keep you from knowing how rich you are. The devil's played by Milburn Drysdale. And he doesn't want you to know how rich you are. So he lies to you. And he keeps you from accessing your riches in Christ, which are not positional, but possessional. They're yours. You could spend them if you'd like, or you can just let them sit there and pay no attention to them at all, be deceived regarding how rich you really are. Verse 8 says, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Here, that which He poured out upon us, or lavished upon us. It's parasuo, epiparasuo. It means he really poured it out on us, over and abundantly poured it out upon us. That is, in all Sophia, wisdom, that is divine insight and know-how. He told us how we can have all this and experience it all. That's what the Word of God is for. So you can experience Christ and have a real, living, loving relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord, and have the happiest life that is possible, occupied with Christ, rather than the most miserable life possible, which is being occupied only with yourself and your own wants and needs and desires. So, granting, as he did, the information, along with the ability to understand and appropriate the blessings and accoutrements of this so great salvation, so great grace salvation, that is our permanent possession and status before Almighty God. I said before, not our position. People talk about positional truth as though it wasn't real, but is our possession, that which is ours to spend and enjoy. You're like royal sons, and you are royal sons, more so than William and Harry will ever be. We got Donald Trump, William and Harry. Wonder who's next. Oh, Jesus. He's the subject of every message, and the Lord of all. Indeed, these things are ours, in and by, and also because of the Lord Jesus. You know, in Jonah 2:9, what's it say? Anybody? Jonah 2:9. Yeah, Brad got it. He actually has some categories in his soul. It's just obvious in every way. Salvation is from the Lord, of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Where'd it come from? Do you have anything to do with it? Uh-uh. You're not allowed to even contribute or participate in it except by faith. So salvation is of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it's God's doing that you're in Christ Jesus. You didn't do anything. Who became to us wisdom. There's wisdom again. Wisdom from God. That's how to be saved, by grace and through faith. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In all of this, Christ has been made unto us wisdom. In all three phases of our salvation and our spiritual life, now and then, here and now, there and then. Here's how it works. First of all, he is just and the justifier of our justification. That is our being declared righteous, the declaration and installation of perfect divine righteousness, triple righteousness, the righteousness of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is ours. For he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And indeed we are. Repeat after me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. People say, that's arrogant. No, it isn't. It's humble to say that, because you wouldn't naturally say that or think that. And you say, that's the ultimate arrogance. That's the ultimate humility. To say what God said regarding yourself. To think what God thinks about you. So, you know, I endorse that completely. Keep doing that. Keep speaking to yourself and to your soul. Why art thou disquieted within me, O my soul? Trust thou in God. Whenever I'm agitated, irritated, and irritating. Because I'm both. And so are you. He's just and the justifier. So that means justification is his doing. Romans 3:26. He's the sanctifier of our sanctification. By one sacrifice, he perfected forever those who are being sanctified. In Hebrews 10:12. And he is the glorifier. See, we have justification, sanctification, and glorification. All three phases of our salvation. He's the glorifier of our present human bodies in Philippians 3:21. So, We have justification, sanctification, and glorification, none of which we can do for ourselves or to ourselves. None of which we earn, deserve, contribute to, or work for. But indeed, we must work it out. In Philippians 2:12, we katergazetai. Say, do we? Yes, we do. Start katergazetying. That means literally, we work it down. That which is true of us in heaven, we must work down and make real. It has to be made real to us in time. That which is true of us in heaven made real to us on earth. We do so by faith. That is, taking in the Word and assembling the Word in categories and inventory inside of the soul. Filling up the three chambers and seven compartments of the heart. Three compartments, faith, hope, and love. And the seven compartments of the heart start with word storage and end with wisdom or application of truth to life. We do so by faith and the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. We're to be continually filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Not by working, no work involved, but by waiting. By nothing more than letting or allowing Christ, God, to will in us and work in us that which pleases Him. For those who rest, that which He proposes, He performs. Rest in Him. That which He proposes, He performs by His power, by His Word, by His Spirit. All lavished graciously upon us. En Christos, in Christ, 31 times in Ephesians. Verse 9, He made known to us the mysterion, the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, in Himself, or in Christ. They're interchangeable. He says, having made known, norizo, to us, the mysterion, the mystery of His will, according to the eutychian, which is His good purpose or pleasure, which He intends for us, of Him which He purposed. That's propheto or protithemi, which means He purposed beforehand. Long before man was created. Remember, you were called and blessed in Christ before the world even existed. Before the foundation of the world. Before the world was thrown down. Cataballo. He purposed beforehand in Himself or for His own sake. For the sake of His glory. For the sake of the praise of the glory of His grace. Which He brought about in Christ Jesus. Verse 10. With a view to an administration, oikonomao, which is a house law or rule, suitable to the fullness, pleroma, of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven, things upon the earth, in Him. This is a little difficult to understand, so we'll break it down and spend some time on this passage. He says, eis, first of all, which is unto. And then it says, oikonomia, which is house law, governing principle, administration, plan or blueprint, dispensation, or where we get our word, economy, oikonomia, economy. Economy. God's economy. His economy of grace. That is, of the fullness, pleroma, of the times. Christ is that fullness, and in Him, everyone who's in Him, 31 times in Ephesians, and over 250 times in the New Testament, we are filled full. Colossians 2:9, for in Him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form, And in Him, you have been made complete. You say, well, that doesn't sound right to me, because I don't think I'm complete. I think I got a long way to go. Oh, you're complete, all right, in the mind of God. The moment you believed in Christ, you had it all. You just haven't discovered it all or experienced it all yet. Some of you haven't experienced any of it for a long time, perhaps. And He's the head over all rule and authority. We live in the era of the fullness. On the finished work side of history, in the hidden valley between the two great mountain peaks of prophecy, which are the first and second advents of Christ. The church wasn't known in the Old Testament. Here we are in it. Body parts of Christ. That's the mystery. It's part of the mystery. The mystery of the church. That's the ecclesiastic aspect of the mystery. Ecclesiological aspect of the mystery. Each one having that fullness from the start, yet only grasping and implementing it by believing the Word and growing in your inventory of spiritual life truth, which we apprehend. You have to see it first. Assimilate, retain it, and apply it, or work it down, work it in, work it out. And that without working a lick. You're not working at anything. You're not doing any work. There's no work involved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Then he says, the fullness of times to summarize. That is, to categorize. Let's see what the word is in the Greek. Oh, this is a good one. It's anakephaliao. You might recognize the middle portion, which is kephale, which is head. Christ is the head, kephale. And we have anakephaliao, which means to summarize. It also means to categorize or emphasize, amalgamate, actually to set in order of importance. First things first, head up. To head up everything in Christ. That is all things en Christos, in Christ. All things are from Him, by Him, and for Him. And in Him all things consist. Whether things in heaven or things on earth, whether principalities, powers, thrones, or dominions, Colossians 1, 15 and 16, Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. He is the object of faith, is He not? For justification, the object of hope for sanctification, and the object of love for glorification, by whom is our commendation, our rewards as winners, our coronation as kings and lords, and our ordination as high priests. In Revelation 1:6 and 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Living stones, living epistles, living sacrifices. We're stones that cry out. You have to be a living stone to cry out. We are the living epistles inscribed on flesh tables or tablets, fleshly tables of the heart, and sacrifices that walk around. And Christ is everything, overall and above all else. He says here, in Christ, the things in the heavenly, everything summarized, headed up by Christ, things in the heavenlies. There's the heavenlies again, Aronios. And those upon the earth, in Him, 31 times, you're in Him, in Christ, and your citizenship is certainly in heaven. Then he says, unto the praise of the doxa, glory, doxa, glory, of the caritas, of the grace. The purpose of God in the age of grace, or the church age, is to magnify and amplify the riches and righteousness of grace. Because of Christ's humility, because of his nth degree obedience and sinless perfection, in fulfilling as a man the righteousness commanded by the law and by his vicarious, substitutionary, atoning death, in undergoing the indescribable suffering for every human infraction of God's holy law, the Father delighted in him. So therefore, he's praiseworthy, deserving of heartfelt and continuous praise and rejoicing, is God our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing man does or refrains from doing can even be mentioned. It's not even worthy of honorable mention or dishonorable mention. It doesn't even deserve dishonorable mention. In Psalm 39:5, for man in his very best estate is vanity. The best man you can think of is vanity. Or Job 35:6-8. This is a great misconception people have. They think their sins affect God or that their righteousness helps him somehow, and it doesn't. Neither one does. He says, this is Elihu who has divine viewpoint, who speaks last. He's the youngest of them, of Job's counselors. He's the only right one. He says, if you have sinned, what do you accomplish against God? And if your transgressions are many, what do you do to him? If you're righteous, what do you give to him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness is for a man like yourself, and your righteousness is for a son of man. Your sins don't hurt God. They only hurt people and yourself. And your righteousness doesn't help God. It only helps people like yourself, yourself and others. So it doesn't even deserve dishonorable mention, what man does. If you ever do anything that God considers good, then you can be sure that God did it and not you. Isaiah said it like this, for all of us have become like one who is filthy, unclean, and all our righteousnesses, righteous deeds, are like filthy rags. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. No substance to it whatsoever. Remember two things. If salvation depended in the least upon man, no one would be saved. And number two, since it depends entirely upon Christ, anyone can be. I'll say it again. If salvation depended in the least upon man, no one could be saved. But since it depends entirely upon Christ, anyone can be. Everyone can be. Next he says, let me retrace this so we don't get too lost, which I tend to do in the Word of God. But that's good to get lost in the Word of God. He says, unto the praise of the glory of his grace, and summarizing all things in Christ. Then he says, which he graced us out with. There we have a keritao, which means he lavished upon us, freely bestowed, or graced us out. He graced out on us. In, by, and because. And, the preposition, dative preposition, could be used in any of those ways and has all of those senses. The one being loved. He's the one being loved. Likewise, you and I are blessed and beloved by God the Father because of God the Son of his love. For God loved the world and gave his Son. He loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. By no other means and for no other reason, because the Father loves the Son, he delights in you. Because of him, he certainly does. He always has, and he always will. Because of Christ, he does love you. He always has, and always will. In Ephesians 1:11, he says, in whom also we inherited or obtained, having been predestinated according to his purpose, prothesis of the one, all things, working according to the intended purpose of the will of him. And Jeremiah 29:11 explains it very well. The Lord says through the prophet Jeremiah, I know the makashabah. You know what that means. Say it in the Hebrew intonation and inflection. Makashabah. That's the word plans, literally. Which are, he says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of well-being. Not for destruction or calamity. To give you a future and a hope. Plans is makashabah in the Hebrew. They are, it includes, envelops, the loving thoughts and kind intentions of God toward those en Christos, in Christ, because of Christ, by and because of Christ. Now, verse 12 of Ephesians, chapter 1. To the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. He says, unto praise the glory of him, those who were first, those first hoping. That's an interesting word. It's pro-elpizo, so it means first hoping. Or hoping before. In Christ, that is believing in Christ, justification, hoping in Christ, sanctification, and loving Christ, glorification. Verse 13. See, this is, we're summarizing all these things in Christ, but in Ephesians, in the 13 epistles of the 13th apostle. In him you also, I could go endlessly in each verse. So my challenge is to summarize it and to bring out important points. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Justification, signed. Sanctification, sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise for the things that are yet ahead. Hope is the forward look of faith. Faith is non-meritorious perception and consent to the Word of God, especially the gospel of Christ, directed toward the person of Christ for the free and irrevocable gift of eternal salvation. Justification, we're signed. God drops a gavel declaring you eternally righteous by no works, only by faith, a moment of faith. Mark 9:24, that's more unbelief than it is faith at first. And then through the Word of God, that is all certified, set apart, we're set apart, sanctified, sealed by the Holy Spirit who teaches us the Word of God, every one of us. He's our teacher. He longs jealously to teach you in James 4:5. Then it says, who is given, the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as an arabano, a pledge of our inheritance. It's by the will and testament of Jesus Christ. With a view to the redemption of God's own possession. We belong to him. To the praise of his glory. Glorification, we are delivered. Justification, we're signed. Sanctification, we're sealed. Glorification, we're delivered. We're his. God's own possession. We are his people, Psalm 100, and the sheep of his pasture. It's he that has made us, and not we ourselves. And so, all of these wonderful things, to this end, Paul prays. In the final passages, final five passages of Ephesians chapter 1, he prays that all believers would know that these things are so. Not only in heaven, but likewise on earth. On earth as it is in heaven. with you as it is with God, that you would know and say and believe what God has said, what he sees and what he says about you. Ephesians will be slow and steady, full of punch. We need to think right once again to leave self-absorption and re-enter occupation with Christ. That's the purpose of Ephesians, to see him in a new light as Paul advances New Testament revelation in this magnificent treatise on the mystery, which is called the Letter of Paul to the Ephesians, the cyclical letter sent to all the churches. The one that was recovered was the one written to Ephesians, and thus it has the name Ephesians, which is a fact of history. And so we have the book of Ephesians, wonderful passage of Scripture. So he ends up in saying in verse 15, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints." Paul left them early on, never saw them again, writing to them from Mamertine prison in Rome. He says, "I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." He gives thanks for them because they're a blessing to him, because they believe in Christ, because they are the objects of God's love, and they're learning to believe it. They're believing it. And so they're making great progress. Like John said in 2 John, "I have no greater joy than this, than to see my children." And you know, if you're parents and you have children, to see my children walking in the truth. And nothing disturbs you more than when they do not and when they are not. But just wait, because when they are old, they won't depart. "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith of Jesus that exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a lifestyle, controlling spirit, an overarching desire through the Spirit of wisdom." It's wise to get the word. "And of revelation." He has to give it to you. He has to teach you deep within. "In the knowledge of him, the one you cannot see but believe in and have not seen, and love. I pray," verse 18, "that the eyes of your heart..." Do you know your heart has eyes? Some of us need to go to the optometrist for the eyes of our heart. "May be enlightened. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, by it he illuminates the innermost parts of the heart. Be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope," help peace, future look of faith, "of his calling you. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance?" What's awaiting us on the other side? You know, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, God is the grantor, Christ is the escrow agent, and every believer is the grantee. It's all slated for us. Got your name on it. And through what's called relation back doctrine, nobody else will get it. If you don't get it, it'll be stored in the Museum of Lost Opportunity. You get to visit it and see how gracious God was in setting it aside, setting it apart for you. And what you could have had, would have had, should have had, had you done the one necessary and needful thing, which is to hear and believe his word. That's all you needed to do. Pick up momentum. Live in that love relationship with Jesus Christ, receiving all of the benefits of his goodness, his kindness, his blessing, and his grace, his favor toward you in Christ Jesus. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who only believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ. See, it's all about Christ. When he raised him from the dead. What happened when he raised him from the dead? He raised you from the dead and seated him at his right hand. What happened when he seated Christ at his right hand? We're seated together with him in heavenly places, which we'll get to next week or the week after in 2:6, Ephesians 2:6. In the heavenly places, in toisoranios, heavenly places, far above all rule and power and dominion. Satan's under your feet. So are the fallen angels. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, Christ and you in Christ. Christ in his body, the church. And he put all things in subjection under Christ's feet. And gave him his head, kephale. Sums up everything in Christ. He's first in rank, order, and importance. Over all things to the church, which is his soma body. The fullness, pleroma. Filled to all fullness. Can't be filled anymore. It's overflowing. Of him who fills all of us all the way up with all that he is. My translation, expanded translation. Who fills all of us all the way up with all that he is because of all that he's done and given to us. Which exceeds our capacity or ability to even know or understand and see it all here. We'll see it on the other side for sure. All those things will be revealed to us progressively over the endless ages of eternity when we're with him in his presence. Oh, what a day that will be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. These things are so magnificent. Father, give us spiritual minds so that we can comprehend them. And Father, give us an expression of them that is so clear that we know that these things are not ethereal or positional, but they are our real possession. They are the riches of Christ that are ours to spend and to enjoy, to invest time in eternity so that we might have the best possible eternal experience in Christ. Since we are free moral agents, Father, you gave us freedom so that we might have the highest and best things from you, and we determine that that's what we want. And it's all grace, so there's nothing stopping us, Father. Show us how we can do this and have it. And Father, work in us the changes that are necessary in our mental attitude through Ephesians, by the Word and the Spirit, so that we might make a fast track and take the shortest distance between two points, which is a straight line. Vicki, if you would get ready, if I could have my ushers, please, Father, bless the offering. Father, turn the 5 loaves, 2 fishes into a meal for thousands, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We could all stand.